Our speaker tonight is Anne. I met her at the Widening the Gateway meeting, and she's got like a million years of sobriety, but she always manages to bring it back to the primary purpose. She always manages to bring it back to why we are here, which is to quit drinking and to find a way to live with continuing to not drink, which is important because I think it's a message that often gets lost. So Anne, it is all you, darling. Thank you for coming.
Okay, thank you. I'm Anne. I'm an alcoholic, and thank you for asking me to join you. So again, I'm Anne. I'm an alcoholic. I was kind of chuckling when Megan, when you texted me the information, you said this was something like an old-fashioned speakers meeting. Well, when I came in, this was not old-fashioned. This was very much a way of, there were many, many, many meetings like this where it was just a speaker. Sometimes there was two speakers to fill up the time. And so I was chuckling because it felt much like when I was working and people that I was working with were saying that music from the 80s were the oldies. And, I go back a little further than that, the reason I say that, how everything is relative, like I came in at a certain time and things were done a certain way. Somebody else comes in at a different time and things are done another way. But with AA, the program hasn't changed. And I think that's why for me, it's so important for me to remember why I am here. And that was so, it is so that I continue to learn how to not to drink a day at a time. It's the only reason I'm here. I did not come in to get a better life. I did not come in to get a better God. I did not come in, for whatever reason. I actually came in to help my partner stop drinking. I found out I probably should have went to Al-Anon. But I came into AA and I, to help her because she had the problem. And I found out I was an alcoholic, so I guess I can tell you about myself, and I know what we do in AA is these are the things that don't change. I'll tell you about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And that's what I learned. And I know that people still do that. So, I grew up in an old-fashioned family, I guess. Even for the 50s and 60s, they were pretty old-fashioned. And I grew up where my father was an alcoholic, and my mother, I'm still unsure. But it was mostly my father's alcoholism, I guess, in hindsight now that I can say, affected my growing up years. At the time, I thought it was normal. I just figured everybody's father was like that. And I knew it was uncomfortable, but I just really didn't, I didn't really give it much thought about why he acted the way that he did. Again, it's only much later. Since I'm in recovery, you could say that I learned more about that. But being honest with you, I don't really give a shit. In my opinion, he was a horrible man. And, things happen in alcoholic homes all the time. And then there's things that happen in homes that shouldn't happen, whether there's alcoholism in the home or not. So that's all I'll say about that. So it was kind of like a rough childhood. But I didn't know that. I grew up in a middle-class family, I guess. I was provided for, got everything I needed as far as education, clothing, food, never wanting, but never feeling like I belonged, And I didn't know how to say those words when I was a child growing up or in high school, whatever. I only learned those words, again, coming to AA, you know, that I just never felt like I belonged. It was, and you know, but I had some good, like I enjoyed high school, and I only realized perhaps going into recovery that I enjoyed high school so much because I didn't have to be myself. I was athletic. I could be very involved. I was, you know, pretty smart. I had good grades. I could and it was a great way to get out of the house. I was allowed to do anything, as long as it was school related. So it was a great way to get out of the house. And, you know, so those years, I still have fond memories of them. And it was a long, long time ago. You know, but what happened when my life started to change was, well, actually, even high school, I had wanted to go to a public high school, and my parents weren't having any of that. I ended up going to a Catholic high school because that's where they wanted me to go. And but I did end up enjoying it, but it was like not having any input into my future, I guess, that affected me. And then leaving high school, I wanted to go to, there was a few colleges upstate New York, and they basically quashed that. And I ended up going to Brooklyn, and I live on Long Island. It was a heck of a trip. That's all I can say. It took me forever to get back and forth. And there was very few connecting trains from where I lived. So, you know, there was it was just a mess. And I was, at the time, I had no exposure to any kind of any other culture, to tell you the truth, other than white middle class Long Island. Everybody looked like me. Everybody thought like me. Everybody went to the same church as me. Those were the people that I knew. And that was my whole world. And so then I step into Brooklyn, and it was like I was in outer space. Because people didn't look like me, they didn't talk like me, they didn't go to the same church I went to. It was very, very diverse. And it was also the early 70s. And I was exposed to campus life in a way that I had never, ever, ever experienced. And it was great, you know, I loved it. I fell right into it. And I also, like my first year of college, I actually did pretty good, you know, academically, athletically. I actually did pretty good. I don't know why, but when I was about 19, I started going to the pub that they had there on the corner. It was City University, so they didn't have bars on the campus. They called them Rathskellers at the time, and they didn't have them because it was a city university. Like a lot of the other colleges, you know, you could go to a bar right on campus. And so I had to walk all the way across the street. And you know, and I fell right into that, too. And it didn't take very long before I no longer cared about, you know, athletics and grades. And I cared more about being with the new friends that I found and drinking. And I didn't realize, I think today I can recognize as what I did was what I lost leaving high school, I replaced with alcohol in college, because it wasn't easy for me to make friends when I went to college in this new out of space world that I was in. But when I went drinking with these people, it was much, much easier. And it started a pattern in my life that, you know, it just continued on for years and years and years. And I know today, that's not to say I didn't become an alcoholic when I went to college. I believe I already was an alcoholic who just hadn't put alcohol in my body yet. And so when I started to do that, it didn't take very long for things to get out of control once the alcohol went inside my body. And I went from a pretty good student, a pretty good athlete, to basically pretty much failing out of college. But as a good alcoholic, my solution to that was to drop out before I got thrown out. And so I I took a year off, so to speak, and somehow, some way, this part of my memory is a little foggy, but I managed to get doctor's notes to get back into school. And I don't remember how I did that or what I told them. But so I got back into school, and that particular year, because I knew I was on a probation, I really didn't drink much. And you can tell which year that was when you look at my transcript. And I still find that amazing. It's just so obvious. But so what happened was, though, pretty much except for that time, that year, I guess it was, I drank from the time I was 19 until somewhere in my 40s. I would have to do the math, but somewhere in my 40s, pretty much every day, just because, because that's what I did, and I can tell you that, things happen along the way. Like I can remember, like being 20 years old, when sometimes when I see really young women in meetings and they'll be talking about some of the things that I did, this is how I recognized it. I was like about 20 years old, 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting in downtown Brooklyn. Now, if you're not from that area, I mean, that could be like downtown bad town, like no matter what town you're in, you just didn't want to be there 20 years old, 2 o'clock in the morning, waiting for a train that I didn't know was going to come or not. And I was drunk. And I can remember some of the security around the area. They would sometimes tell me to sit in a certain area, like I guess to be safer and things like that. But it never dawned on me. It never ever dawned on me that I was putting myself in very unsafe situations because of alcohol, because that's what I was doing. I mean, I didn't have any classes, after midnight to be waiting for a train at 2 o'clock in the morning. So, and that's, I think the bars at that time closed around 1 or 2 o'clock. So I'm pretty sure that's why I was there so late. And, but I don't think I had classes after 4. I don't even know if I had them that late in the day. But so anyway, so I would do things like that. I would do things like I can remember, just walking around, the area around the college in Brooklyn, totally drunk, falling down on the streets, like again, about 20 years old, not thinking that that was a problem. And, getting thrown out of places that I didn't belong. And maybe I belong there, but I didn't belong there in the condition that I was in. And, so I mean, it was just a life like that. And then, of course, there's the horror stories. There was the car accidents. There was situations, without going into detail, I don't think I need to, situations that I felt, I found myself in when I would wake up in the morning and say, oh, fuck, now what? Now, maybe now I'll stop. But you know what? It wasn't like I had to stop drinking. It was I had to stop that behavior. Like that was in my mind. Why do I keep doing this? Like, because I had no connection, like in my mind, that alcohol could have had anything to do with that. There had to be something wrong inside of me that I would keep putting myself in these situations. And it just was a horrible way to live. But I didn't know it at the time. I thought, this is life. This is how everybody's living. And it wasn't that way. It wasn't, everybody wasn't living that way. And I've heard people say, when they finished college, their friends, went out and got jobs and everything. And I just stayed in the bars, and I was a big bar drinker. And that's pretty much how my life went for my whole adulthood. And met my partner in a bar. Fortunately, we're still together. It was just a lifestyle. But I'll repeat it, I had no connection that the way I was living my life had anything that alcohol was controlling anything that was, not good in it. And I couldn't hold jobs for very long. And I thought, well, I'll just keep changing my job. Like I thought I would just like to do different things. That wasn't it. I can see it now that I just, I just couldn't last long enough. And I also couldn't find jobs in the areas that I was educated in. There was cutbacks at the time. There was, so I had all kinds of excuses, because I just had nothing but bad luck. So I might as well just go to the bar and drink. If you had my life, you'd be drinking with me. And the funny thing is, I've learned in that NAA, some of you were drinking with me, and yet here we are, so go figure. But it's funny. I'll just interject. I met somebody through my sponsee. I met another woman who was very active in service, and she said to me, "Man, I know you from somewhere. You said many years ago, but I don't remember where." And I said, "Well, maybe from meetings early on or something like that." It turns out we were literally drinking it because we kept talking and talking. We were drinking in the same bar at the same time. It's just so many years later, we didn't recognize who we were. Then we did, So it just goes to show you that AA makes our world smaller. So anyway, to get back on my story, so I just, I was aimless and purposeless, I guess, until my mid-20s. And I did get a job that it was a teaching job, and I actually left the job because it really was getting in the way of my drinking. I knew that if I stayed there was going to come a point where I was probably going to get fired. I wasn't like on probation or anything like that, but I knew that it was coming. And because of the behavior, like just not showing up for work, being not responsible with some of the things, my performance and things like that. Closing my running a study hall, closing my eyes and falling asleep. Like that kind of thing. But more not showing up. So I left, and I got jobs in other areas where I was way too underpaid and way too, underemployed, I guess. And I don't say that to brag or anything, but I had a college degree, and I was, working in places that barely required high school. But it was spending money. That's all I needed. I just needed money to be able to go out and drink, because that was the only thing that was important. And I wasn't responsible for anything. And what happened was, so that's how my life continued until I guess my maybe around 30. By that time, I had been in the relationship that I'm in now, and I had gone home one night, and I didn't even know it, but my suitcases were packed and at the front door. I just went in, went to bed like usual, like 2 days passed, and then my partner finally said, "You didn't even notice." And I'm like, "Notice what?" She goes, "Those are your suitcases." And I was like, "Oh, why are they there?" She said, "Open them up." I opened them up, and they're packed. She said, "Because they're packed for you to take somewhere else. Because, I can't do this." She said, "I want to stay sober, and you being here doing what you're doing is jeopardizing my sobriety." Something like that, she said. So I was like, I'll go to AA with you, and I had been to some meetings with her, so I knew that I would, I stopped for a day or two before. I can stop again, So I started again. I shouldn't even really say again, but I started to go to AA meetings, but I didn't go like on a regular basis or anything. I just figured like I'll go. I won't drink for a little while. I'll get cleaned up, and everything will be okay. And what happened was I went for maybe like less than 30 days, and I started drinking again. But I thought that that was okay because I mean, there was a couple of weeks there where I didn't drink, so things were getting better. And so it was okay to drink again. And because obviously that wasn't the problem, because look, I'm okay now. Like I still couldn't make a connection. And so I started, going sporadically to AA. And then I was confronted again and I said, okay, I'll go. I'll go to AA every day. And I started going and counting days. And and this is a two part of my story. I was going to the meetings, and then it came close to a year, and somebody said to me, "Oh, you must be celebrating soon. You must have a year anniversary soon." And I was like, "Celebrating? What does that even mean?" So they, she told me, and it dawned on me that those meetings that I was going to, the beginners meetings, when people were raising their hands, saying 30 days, 60 days, people were raising their hands because they weren't drinking. I was raising my hand because it was just like I had gone to that many meetings. I didn't really get that people weren't drinking, like all those days in a row. I was able to get a few days and then I would drink a few days more and then I would drink, maybe go, drink a few days, go back again, that kind of thing. But I kept counting, because I had come to AA like 30 days ago. I had come to AA 60 days ago. And it took me a while to get that AA was here for people that don't want to drink. And so I was feeling a bit uncomfortable with that because I wasn't sure that I really didn't want to drink. I didn't know that I didn't have to drink. Like you, that was almost like asking, ask me to do anything. I will do anything. Just don't ask me to not drink. That was just asking me to, like do the impossible. And so I really didn't get any kind of like firm foundation. My foundation was not made out of bedrock. It was made out of sand. I did not talk to I did not talk to many people at all, let alone women, like on the phone. No, get a sponsor. No, just make friends. No, don't need that. And but I did go to meetings. That was probably the only thing I did consistently for the maybe like after I realized people weren't drinking, I continued to go then to meetings, but I could not stay sober. And eventually I realized some time had passed where I wasn't drinking. And I think it might have been about 3 or 4 years or 5 years. I'm not really sure because that time of my, it kind of all gets blurred together still. But what happened, I do remember what happened was after having some time away from a drink, and I know this doesn't happen to everybody, but it did happen to me. I started having memories of my childhood and flashbacks. And I know it was at a point where I probably had more sobriety than I had ever had. It wasn't like a long time, but it was more than I ever had. And I was starting to build a foundation, but it wasn't firm. And I knew that I was going to hurt myself. Like I just knew that there was just no way that I could deal with this. Like I thought I was going crazy. I was going out of my mind, and there was just no way. I could just couldn't do this anymore. And it's probably the only time I could say that I'm grateful that I grew up in the religion that I grew up with, because it was a sin if we committed if you commit suicide. So I knew I really couldn't commit suicide. I knew I couldn't kill myself. So what else was left? I'll just drink. And then I drank with a vengeance. I think more of a vengeance than I had ever had to drink before. Not that I had to drink then, but I just didn't know what else to do. I was my intention was to go out for a day or two, just get past this hump where I felt like this, like that the life wasn't worth living. And I'll deal with it and then I'll go back to AA. And then if I need extra help, I heard because I've heard people talking about they go to therapy for things like this too. And if it's that bad, then maybe I'll go to therapy. And that was my intention. And for the next 11 years after that, I never got more, than little bits of time. It was just back and forth and back and forth. But the one thing that was consistent was that women in AA, I went to women's meetings. I did go to mixed meetings too, and they were all traditional meetings, not secular meetings. But the one thing that was consistent for me, there was a group of women, a small handful of women. I didn't know it at the time, but they stuck close to me. They put in the effort to help me stay sober. I didn't know that that's what they were doing. They stayed close. They called me. They did all the things that I couldn't do for myself. They did for me. And I just continued to drink, and they were kind of like, holding me. And I didn't realize it at the time. I was like, why do they keep bothering me? They're just like, oh, God, here she is. They want me to go to the diner again. I went with them last week, and like all this kind of stuff. And but no matter what I did, no matter what I said, they said, yeah, come with us. They said, come with us. They said, keep going to meetings. Even if you drink, I was like, I feel like crap. I can't stop drinking. It's okay. It's okay. Just come to a meeting, And that saying, when your ass is falling off, put it in a bag and bring it to a meeting. Like they would tell me things like that. Pick up your ass, put it in the bag and come. And I started to get days then, like days in a row. And I started to see there was a particular women's meeting that I went to. And I started to see that when I went there, I really didn't want to drink that day. I really wanted to be present in that meeting. But the problem with alcoholism was I couldn't pick and choose the days that I could stay sober. But I started to find with that particular meeting, for some reason, I was able to do it. And I asked the woman to be my sponsor, and it did help. We spoke pretty much every day. I still continued to drink at times. And I learned things. I learned how to be more responsible. And even though I was drinking, one of the things that I remember most that impressed me the most is that we had a snowstorm here in the winter one time, and it was a big storm. And Friday night was our meeting night, and I called her. I said, I guess we're not going to the meeting tonight, right? The church is going to be closed. She said, oh no, she said, I have two shovels in my car. We're gonna go and open the door. And I was like, who's gonna go to a meeting in a snowstorm? She said, we are, and we're gonna wait and see if anybody else shows up. I was like, what the fuck? But you know what? She came, she picked me up, and we went, and I helped her shovel. The two of us shoveled, and about three people showed up, but it taught me. When we keep the doors of AA open because you don't know if somebody else is going to show. I didn't want to go, but maybe somebody else wanted to go, And so we did that. And that was probably 30 years ago. And I remember it like it was like it could have been happened yesterday. And because it taught me a lot. And that's what the women did for me in AA. They, even though I was drinking, like they were like, just, it's okay. Just do what we do. Just do what we do. And sometimes they would mention to me, pray. And I'd be like, fuck that. And then they would say, okay, then just, then don't pray. Just come to a meeting, And so I was very lucky in that way. But eventually what happened was I think I might have shared this with some of you that I was in a meeting one day. Oh, no, I wasn't in the meeting yet. Getting near the end of this 11-year journey that I was on, thinking that I could have the best of both worlds, and I realized I couldn't. It was just too hard to continue to drink and then go sit in a meeting where I saw people. Because I was believing that by that time that people weren't drinking, and I was trying not to, and I couldn't do it. And I was realizing, like, holy crap, I really can't stop drinking. I thought I would quit when it really got that bad, but it got that bad, and it got worse. It's like those stories, like if I went into details, I've heard women share and men share too. And you think that would have been enough. Well, I have a lot of those. You think that would have been enough, and it never was. And that's when I realized that, like, holy shit, like, I just can't stop. Like now I'm fucked. That was, that was what, like, was in my mind. Like, that's it. I'm really screwed now. Now I really blew it. And thinking that I still had some sort of control over this and that. So I told the same woman who brought me to the meeting to shovel that time that I can't do both. I just can't. I can't do both. I'm going to keep drinking and I'm not going to go to AA anymore. And then I asked her if she had any suggestions. And she said, any or better ideas. And she said, I'll go to a meeting with you. And I was like, I just lost it on her. I kind of like I verbally threw up all over her that she didn't understand me. She didn't know what was going on. I just told her that I couldn't stop drinking and why would I want to do that? And like I told you I can't stop drinking. Why are you telling me, so why are you telling me all this stuff basically? And she was like, I'm not asking you to stop drinking. I would never ask you to stop drinking. I don't have that kind of power, but I will go to a meeting with you. And she said, you asked me for a suggestion. It's the only thing I know that works. So we went to a meeting. I said, all right, one more time. One more time. I will go with you to a meeting, and it's going to be my last meeting ever, ever. I'm not even going to go to people's anniversaries. I'm just never going to go again. And so I went, and in that meeting, there was a woman who shared that she was an alcoholic. She identified herself as an alcoholic, and she said she was an alcoholic because when she was drinking, when she didn't want to drink, and when she wanted to stop, she couldn't stop. She had no control over what was going, how much alcohol she was putting in a bo in her body once she started. She came to AA, she worked the program, she did the steps and blah blah blah. And now today she doesn't have to drink. And it was just a short little, like a 2 minute share, probably, maybe not even. And I was like, I looked at my sponsor, I said, that is it. That's it. And like, I don't even know what struck. Now you figure and during those 11 years, I didn't go to one meeting a day. I probably went to, I went to at least two, three meetings a day. And there were days I went to four. They had meetings back to back to back all the time. And I would just stay. And I still couldn't stop drinking. I had coffee commitments, didn't stop drinking, like things like that, And, so, but that one moment, you figure all these thousands and thousands of meetings, I had to have heard, somebody had to have said something very similar to that at least once or twice. You figure all those years, all those meetings, and I never heard it. And that particular day, when I had totally, completely given up, that it was, I didn't realize it at the time, but I was giving up that I had any more control, any control over my alcoholism, my alcohol intake, or anything. I just like, that's it. I'm just going to drink for the rest of my life. And I think that was my surrender without knowing it. And I went to the meeting, I heard her. And I haven't had a drink since. And I don't even know if I saw that woman ever again, but I, that's not what was important. Her message was important. And I haven't had to have a drink since then. And I can tell you that, I did work the steps to the best of my ability. Some of the stuff I did, like I did a few fourth steps and I couldn't like really get through them. I did it with a therapist, and that one seems to have worked because I'm not drinking. And so there's like, I don't even know if that's, I don't even really believe, I should say, that that's really important how I did it or how I worked my steps, but I can tell you that I did do them to the best of my ability. And my life did change after that. I go to a lot of therapy. This I still have like issues, like I guess post-traumatic stress or whatever, but therapy worked for me then, it works for me now. Why stop? Going to meetings worked for me then, works for me now. Why stop? Like I'm a strong believer in that. And that's why, I said like I don't stay because it's true. Like I don't want, my life to get better. I don't want to drink because I believe strongly that if I don't drink, I have a shot to have a better life. You know, and I feel that that message does get lost. You know, I hear people talk about do steps one, two, and three. I'm like, nah, how about one? How about one, dude? Like, just do one, you know? And because if I pray first and I still drink, that prayer didn't do me much good. That's how I believe. And if I, but if I don't drink and I don't pray, I'm still not drunk, you know? Like, that's just how I believe that. And if step two and three were as important as step one wouldn't be step one. It would be step three, and two and three would be before it. That's my take on it. And, you know, so that would, that's kind of, and that's what kept me sober. I started to realize that, you know, I came in as a practicing Catholic, and I ended up, you know, AA taught me that it was that same traditional AA was teaching me it's okay. Not that it's okay, but that I didn't believe in God. Like, you know, that it was just like, I no longer could, it just didn't make sense anymore when I got sober. The things that I had been clinging to, the things that I believed in the most were the things that scared the crap out of me the most too. And it's taken a very long time because I didn't find, it's been difficult for me to find like secular support, you could say, because, and even when I would try to say, like, I don't know if I'm really an atheist or an agnostic, I just know that I don't believe what you're telling me, you know, and, you know, I wouldn't get like support, like, oh, like, all right, just keep, you know, keep searching. It would be like, oh, but you will someday, you know, and that would turn me off even more. Like, why do I have to? And then eventually after many, many years, you know, when one of my, time later when I had a different sponsor, she would say, well, you know what, why not, maybe it's your job in meetings to just remind people that, like, if you don't believe in God, you still don't have to drink. Like, you know, like, what's the difference whether you believe in God or not? You know, we come to AA because we don't want to drink. And that's how that stuck in my mind, because I could not stop drinking and I could no longer believe in God, but damn it, I wasn't going to drink. Like, you know, so like, that's how that became the bedrock of my, like, that foundation that I'm talking about, because it was something, and it was a spiritual experience as defined in AA, because I was doing, thinking, feeling, seeing all of these things that I could not do, think, see, feel on my own. I was doing it with AA. I wasn't agreeing with everybody and people weren't agreeing with me, but I was not drinking. And that I could not do that on my own. And so I stayed and I just held on and I fought. And then I just got tired of fighting. And I said, I don't have to explain anymore. I just don't. And I hate to say this, but gratefully we had the pandemic. And I guess I just started to search out of the meetings, and that's what I'm grateful for, that I did, like, virtually start the search out of me. And it still took a few years. I heard something about secular meetings on Zoom, and I started to go, and that was only a short while ago. And now I'm even more convinced that I only want to come here because I don't want to drink, and I doesn't really matter, you know. I don't want to end up, you know, there's so many meetings in secular AA where people say they talk more about God in secular AA than in traditional meetings. And I can understand it. And there's a lot of anger. And I can understand that because I was in that place. And yet I don't want to be in the place where I'm judging other people for the same thing, or I guess the opposite belief, but the same idea. Like, they were judging me. I don't want to judge them back. I don't want to be judging on them, you know, because the important thing is, even if they do believe in God, they don't have to drink. And I've told people that, you know, it's like, you know, that it's okay if you believe in God, you still don't have to drink, you know? And, you know, so that's, to me, the most important thing, to me, that is why I come to AA, you know, because I could go, like I could join other clubs, so to speak, for fellowship. I could belong to many different organizations for fellowship, sisterhoodship, whatever we want to call it, right? I do belong to some of those things, but none of those things is gonna keep me sober. I'm absolutely certain of it. I'm absolutely certain of it, that it's just not gonna happen because I'm not gonna be reminded on a daily basis that I don't have to drink. I still need to be reminded of that every day. Like, I like to wake up in the morning and go to a meeting so that AA is in my head before I am. And I like to go to a meeting later at night so that when I try to go to sleep, AA is in my head and I'm not. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I have good days, sometimes I have bad days. But the most important thing to me, again, is not drinking. I do sponsor somebody who's going through mental health issues. I'm not a doctor. It's been very sad for me to watch her go through what she's going, and people are judging because they think she's not working her program. And I'm sorry, she is working her program, and that's why she's going through mental health issues without drinking and drugging. Because she is working her program. She has a mental health diagnosis, and it's quite severe. And things, she was fine. Like it was like one day her medication stopped working. And so it's been quite a trip for her since that time. And it's like I'm like, well, you know what? AA is what has prepared her to go through this sober. It's like she's going through that and she's still sober. So why is everybody like looking, why are we looking for reasons why things happen? And I really don't know what else to say. Like my life is good. I can tell you about more about myself. If tell an alcoholic they can talk for an hour and it's like holy shit about themselves. So so what I do now is like because with some of those issues that I had, I found it difficult to be around people without having anxiety, and so it became a little difficult to work. And I found a lot of peace and serenity in gardening, and mostly vegetable gardening. And I would bring stuff to my home group, and the women there said, "You should open up like a farm stand or something." And I took their advice, and I started selling my stuff at a farmer's market. I opened up a small business, and and that's what I do now. I'm done with all the other kind of trying to fit in. Don't really care. And I don't want to isolate. I realize that I'm a social being, and to be healthy, I probably need social beings in my life, but I'm not forcing it. I'm going to go where I'm comfortable. I don't go to in-person meetings anymore because basically, to tell you the truth, because I don't have to, because I have Zoom. And I think it is the same. I believe it is the same. And I'm sober a long time. And yet things would have done differently in person. But I don't care because I'm still sober. If Zoom wasn't working, I mean, I think after 3 years, I'd be drunk. If I didn't go to meetings for 3 years, right? I'd probably be drunk, but I'm not, So my life is good today, and I'm still with the same person that I was with all those years ago. We were going into our 43rd year together, and so we're happy about that. And I guess one of the things we wanted to do was get old and get sober together, and we've done that. We can't reverse time, but we can move forward sober together. And I guess I can stop there. I don't really know what else to say. So, thanks for letting me share.